Good morning. Today's scripture is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 5. The servant, a light in the nations. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who separated out the earth and who comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And then Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting to him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come to you this morning, washed or unwashed, but we know holy in your sight. Lord, may we take in your words, may they grow in us, and may we be transformed by your life-giving word. Amen. Well, it seems like it's been a crazy week in Lake Bobegon, or wherever it is we are, whoever I am. I mean, we've been on the brink of war, and we've had all kinds of things going on. The United Methodist Church is trying to figure out whether to split or not split. And, I've been texting back and forth with my dad's girlfriend. That's weird. She was his girlfriend while dad was married, so it's weird. It's really weird. And you kind of say, who am I? Where am I? What am I doing here? Well, this is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. You heard the reading from Isaiah. That's supposed to describe Jesus, the servant who's coming to uphold justice, the one who's going to have the Spirit of the Lord on him. And then the story about Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan. And it made me think of a church I served in Franklin, Virginia, and the town was established or started to grow not too long after the Civil War, and all of the people of different denominations who'd settled there decided that they needed a systematic study of the Bible. There were no churches in Franklin at the time, and so they all came together in the Mason the old Masonic Lodge, and they had Bible study Sunday school there. And so there were Methodists and probably some Episcopalians, and there were a lot of Baptists. And so after a while, they decided that they wanted to have some preaching too. And so they could bring in, they brought in preachers from places like Norfolk and Murfreesboro, and they could get there by land or by rail. And they came, and then someone moved to town, and he had three children, James D. Bryant, and the youngest one was an infant, and he wanted to have the baby baptized at a service in the Masonic Lodge. Well, arguments ensued between the Methodists and the Baptists, and finally, the leader of the Baptists declared, "There will be no monkey show in the Baptist church." At which time the Methodists separated from the Baptists. The two groups started having Sunday services on alternate Sundays. And not too long after that, the Baptists built their own church, and a few years after that, so did the Methodists. And as far as I know, there were neither monkeys nor Baptists in attendance when the baby was finally baptized. The minister came up from Murfreesboro, North Carolina, and the Baptists and the Methodists get along a little better now. But I think about that. We are divided within the different denominations about infant baptism. But Jesus shows us the way. John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, which, by the way, was really river-like, but that was before they built all those dams above Jerusalem. And so he's baptizing people, and Jesus comes, and John is like, Jesus, I don't think I should baptize you. And Jesus said, no, it's the right thing to do. And John baptizes him in the river, and the heavens open, and a dove descends, and a voice says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And so if there was any doubt about the rightness of this thing, of John baptizing Jesus, it is swept away. Jesus shows us the way to go when it comes to holy living, and that way leads through the water of baptism. In the movie Brother, Where Art Thou, the tribute to bluegrass music and Homer's Odyssey, there's a baptism in it. In this version of the Odyssey, Odysseus is an escaped convict played by George Clooney, and he's on the run with two of his fellow inmates. And in one scene, they're walking through the woods, and they see all of these people in white robes moving to through the woods singing, and they watch as the group members line up at the shore of the lake and they prepare for their baptism. And so the minister is there and he's dunking the people into the lake, and one of the prisoners, Delmar, joins the line, gets dunked under the water three times by the minister and comes running out of the lake, dripping wet, and yelling to his friends, the preacher says all my sins is washed away, including the piggly wiggly that I knocked over in Yazoo. And his companions say, I thought you said you was innocent of those charges. And he said, well, I was lying, and the preacher says that sin's been washed away too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine. Well, you might wonder about Delmar's conversion experience. Was he serious? Did he just want to get past those that time he knocked over the Piggly Wiggly? Well, I think he really does feel like he's been changed. He's been converted in some way because while they're out and about, his companions steal a pie off of a windowsill, and Delmar puts money there to replace the pie. I think he does take it seriously. Now, there are different ways of looking at baptism. For some people, it's like joining the Jesus Club. You know what it's like to join a club or to become a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or join the Elks or the Lions or the Moose or Kiwanis, any of those things. Every club has its rules and regulations, and for some, baptizing is joining the Jesus Club and following the Jesus rules, keeping track of what it is you should and shouldn't do. And for others, baptism is like hell insurance. You know, someone once told me that that when their granddaughter was born, that one day when she was babysitting the baby, she snuck over to the Catholic Church with her granddaughter and had her baptized by the priest without the permission of the baby's parents. Because grandma was afraid that if something happened to the baby before she could be baptized in Catholic theology, the baby would end up in limbo and not be admitted into heaven. So you got to watch out for that, in that thought. I'm not sure that's how it works. I don't think that's how it worked. But the thing is, when we're baptized, I know that God looks down at us and says, this is my beloved child in whom my soul delights. In our baptism, we become adopted into the family of God. We discover our true identity. There's this common literary motif. The character who knows his identity but cannot declare it. Think about Strider in Lord of the Rings, who is secretly Aragorn, the heir to the throne of men. He knows who he is, but he cannot tell who he is. Or Clark Kent, who is really Superman. He knows who he is, but he can't reveal himself, his identity. And so, you know, he has this little tick where he, you know, his glasses conceal his identity, but he has this little tick where he takes them on and off as though he wanted to reveal himself or not. He's conflicted. Or in Game of Thrones, Arya Stark takes one identity after another on in order not to be killed or kidnapped. And so she can't reveal who she is. And so what would it be like to walk through the world this way, hidden in plain sight, unrecognized even by those who love us? But then I thought about it, and maybe that is how we walk through life. Maybe writers return again and again to this notion of secret identity because it's not just fiction, it's kind of the agonizing truth at the center of our beings. We, each of us, travel the streets of our hometowns, the hallways of our workplaces, the rooms of our very homes with our true identities unknown to everyone but ourselves. We are hidden, or we hide. We hide who we are in the very depths of our being. Even perhaps your most beloved does not know everything about you and looks at you and is really looking at a mask. There may have been times when you believed that if the world just knew the real you, it would love you and rejoice in you. And maybe there were times when you were quite sure that if the world knew the real you, it would recoil in fear and disgust. Think of the times you want to cry out your identity, your true self, to rip Clark Kent's glasses off of your nose, to emerge from the shadows and claim your true name, and admit the irony that the only ones who truly seem to know us, the real us, are our demons. The ones who speak our self-doubts, tell us our anxieties, poke at our weaknesses. The demons know us, even when no one else does. Except that today, when we remember the truth of our baptism, we remember that we are called to remember into whom we are baptized, into what identity we are baptized into. It is not just God speaking to Jesus saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is God who tells us what our true identity is, just as God told Jesus what his true identity was. Jesus hears, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And again, on the mountaintop, his followers were healed those words from God again. That is Jesus' true identity. And when we are baptized, we take on our true identity. We are revealed as children of God, who we truly are. That identity is etched upon us deeply, deeper than any mask we might wear. Its beauty smooths out any ugliness. Its truth silences the mocking laughter of the demons. It allows us to claim our identity as new, recreated people. What we secretly thought we were in both our best and worst moments was wrong. We are neither the expert nor the fraud, the angel nor the monster, the beauty nor the beast. The truth of us is simpler and more glorious. We are the baptized, bearing the seal of the Holy Spirit. We can walk the streets of our neighborhoods, the hallways of our workplaces, the rooms in our homes. We can look in the mirror and say, look at me, the real me. I am a child of God. I am beloved. And with me, God is well pleased. We can be our own true selves, beloved and called to serve the least and the lost until they too recognize themselves in that life-giving water as chosen, beloved, wanted children of God. Amen. Well, it is a joy to be with you this morning. We, I think, want to be in prayer for Bill Kyle, who's still having some issues, I heard this morning. Also for Colby Heishman, who lost his hand in the accident. I know he had surgery last week. And Jan Gordon is having a procedure this coming week. Do we have other joys and concerns we want to share?
Susan, Kathy Kyle texted me last night and said that her brother Kim, everybody remembers Kim had lots of issues with abdominal cancer a few years ago, went to UVA last night with what he thought was a hernia, but ended up being an infection. Anyway, she just said he really needs prayer. He's very
Okay, so we need to be in prayer for Kim, Kathy Kyle's brother, who's sounds like he's dealing with cancer. Also, Cindy Kite is having knee replacement surgery this coming Friday. Any others? And I covet your prayers for my father. He had a stroke on Friday, and he's in the hospital. He's doing tolerably well, but we don't think he's going to be able to go back home and live by himself. So keep us in your prayers as we break the news to him. that's a tough one. Any others? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, divine Creator, you who made us and gathered us into the family, we give you thanks. You know us completely. You know us to the number of hairs on our heads, and yet you love us. We are thankful, Lord, but when we are acting as though we're far from you, help us to return, to repent, to come back, and to be part of this great family. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are dealing with all kinds of medical issues. We lift them up to you, the ones that we mentioned, the ones we haven't mentioned, and we just ask that you pour out healing and strength on all those who are in need of it. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the midst of sorrow, that you remind us all of the resurrection and its ability to bring new life in the here and now. Lord, we pray for our denomination as we go through changes and growing pains. We pray for all of those who are feeling anxious or worried. We pray for the people of Australia who have been devastated by fires. And we give you thanks for those who have gone to help. Lord, continue to keep us in love with you. Continue to help us understand our identity as your beloved children, that calls us to be and do in the world, to be and act as those who have been transformed through your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, I believe we have a mission moment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have a few things to share with you this morning. They kind of border on mission moment announcements, but we're just going to do them all with you while I'm standing here. The first thing I wanted to say is thank you. I am continually impressed and blown away by your generosity and your willingness to step up and to give and participate in all the crazy mission things that we do here at Bethany. During Advent, we asked you once again to give to Friends of Barnabas, and we were able to send in just over $5,000 after Christmas, and that is outstanding. It goes to show the power when we unite together, what we can do, and how far our efforts can go. So I just want to encourage you and thank you for your continued support of missions here at Bethany, and I'm so proud to be a part of a church that is involved in this kind of medical mission in Honduras. So thank you. And if you ever want more information about how you can get involved, please talk to me or Gary. Next, today is the first Sunday of our Leadership Challenge class that's going to be happening in the Fellowship Hall during the Connection Hour. So if you are having coffee and snacks at the time for class to start about 9:50, 10 o'clock, somewhere in there, we're going to invite you to join us or take your coffee to the gathering space because for the next 5 to 6 weeks, we're going to be in there taking a class together. As I've mentioned a couple weeks ago, last year when we were having our visioning and planning meetings here at Bethany and dreaming of how we wanted to move forward as a congregation, one of the key issues we highlighted was leadership and how we needed to create leadership opportunities and training for our congregation, for each other, because the church isn't one person or a group of people, it's all of us working together. And so I was tasked with leadership training. And so I went to the district office and got to know a great gentleman named Gordon Merriweather, who is simply outstanding. His life has been nothing but service, from the military to politics to the church. He is an amazing man, and if you participate in this class, you'll get to know him a little better, which is a treat. But he is going to be leading. We're leading it together, but he's really leading it. I just said I'd do it so that he would come. And a leadership challenge class. And it's not just about one person leading. It's about how together we can move the church to lead our community. I think it's going to be a lot of fun and really interesting. And I encourage you to participate in that. And remember, Fellowship Hall closed after Connection Hour starts, unless you want to be a part of the class. And then the last thing I wanted to mention before I step down is every year EMU has a School for Leadership training, and it is happening this week, and I am attending it. It's an awesome opportunity with great, great education. But the opening keynote on Monday night is always open to the public, and this year's theme is Shalom in the Streets. And Leroy Barber is going to be the speaker tomorrow night. It starts at 7 o'clock at EMU. And he is the Director of Intervention for Engaged Church in the Greater Northwest Area of the United Methodist Church and the co-founder of the Voice Project. And his theme for the night is leadership for an unchanging church in a changing world, which seems very appropriate for where we are and where we're headed. So if you would like to join me for that, I would love your company. Thank you.
I meant to mention during the prayer time that Gordon Merriweather's wife had a cardiac event on either Thursday or Friday. So be in prayer for Gordon and his wife as well. And at this time, invite the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for the ways that you bless us. You have given to us more than we need. But Lord, we ask that you would bless those who give of themselves and of what they have. Lord, may we use all that you have given us so that others may know about your love and that they have a Father in heaven who is perfect. Bless these gifts and bless the givers. Amen.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the way, and in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces.
Okay, well, let me just point out a few announcements. A lot of the activities at the church that would have happened on Tuesday were canceled, so the women's ministry meeting has been rescheduled for this Monday at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday at 6:30, we're having a planning meeting to go over the calendar for the year. And Cindy would like anyone who has receipts from 2019 to have them into her in the office by January 15th as we're closing out the year. And, and you can read about the mini session. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Yes. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right. Well, you are wonderful, amazing, beloved. And when you go forth from this place, may you share all of that goodness and love with those that you meet. May you see in others the light and love of Christ. Amen.
You can see the kids are going to join us for the last song, providing the percussion that we need in addition to the band.